Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, December 23rd, 2010, Festivus. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and Voice Activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. And by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces their new iPad app just in time for the holidays. So now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is our last live episode of the entire year.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
But we'll still continue episodes next year.
Yeah, actually, we'll still continue episodes next week, just not live.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good.
Great stuff on tape.
We've got all the details in the calendar coming up later in the show. That's a tease.
Yeah.
We don't do that as often.
You're not supposed to point out teases, Tom.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of like segues. You're not supposed to
also
point out
coming up. A Ford ad. Wait, that's not probably not a really good tease. Also coming up, iPad 2.
That I'm interested
really?
In.
Yeah. But first, Sony's chief hints that the next version of the PlayStation Portable, the PSP, would have a touchscreen.
Well, would that make it more like an iPad than any previous version?
It would
yeah.
because of the touchscreen. But they also don't want to get rid of the physical controls.
See, I think that it's the best of both worlds. Because for anybody who's, you know.
That's what Sony would hope you would think.
Yeah. I was just playing World of Goo on the iPad. Love it. That's all touchscreen. But if you had the choice, I'd love to have both.
Mm-hmm. Would they be really smart if they ported the entire thing to Android? And so that you could actually have like a dual boot where you could have classic Android games and you could have PSP games that are more with the controls?
Well, right. There's the PlayStation app, right? So why not do that? Why not have your PlayStation games available in both formats on the same device?
That would be cool. And they have to do something. I mean, the casual gamers on phones are eating their lunch, really. I mean, the numbers are pretty depressing if you're looking at traditional gaming devices. So let's see. In August, NPD reported hardware sales figures. Sony sold just 79,000 PSP units. That's down 43% from a year ago. They got to do something.
Sony Computer Entertainment Chief Kaz Hirai said, "That note I put up about people not eating my lunch didn't work, so we decided to change the product." Actually, he didn't say that part, but he did say, depending on the game, there are ones where you can play perfectly well with a touch panel, but you can definitely play immersive games better with physical buttons and pads. Do you guys agree with that?
I think depending on the game, I mean, it's just nice to have the options.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, for a PSP.
I think directionally, too, right? Sarah, like, you do a lot of iPad gaming when
absolutely.
You have to... when you have to push kind of like directionally, almost like when you're doing Google Maps and you're just trying to go forward, it seems like it'd be so much easier to have the physical controller.
Well, it's, you know, it's the same reason that people like physical keyboards. I mean,
the touch screen can be
helpful and it can look cool and this
you
and
know
that,
where you
but
are.
It's still a 2D thing.
Yeah,
I mean, a button is a button. You can't recreate that on a flat screen.
Skype CEO Tony Bates is not a happy man right now. But as witnessed by Becky Worley being on this show, Skype is back up.
Yay!
Ta-da!
How did you do it, Becky?
Well, I called Skype and I said, "Let me in, damn you."
No.
That's all it took.
The supernodes are being deployed by Skype's engineering team. They say they're roughly at 90% of normal user volumes. At least that was according to their recent blog post. They're probably pretty close to up. Show the blog post. There we go. Does that not look like a man who has been fighting for 24 hours to get his company back up
it's
and
like
running
a
on the internet?
Sleep deprivation experiment.
See, now that is the proper use of a hoodie for a CEO.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg, take note. This says something about his commitment. Not his casualness. I like that use of a hoodie, and I condone that.
It's like, I don't have time to put on a suit. I'm trying to get Skype working for you.
Dude, I'm not even going to show you the sweatpants I'm in, okay? Just shoot me from the top up. It's ugly down there.
More importantly, we now understand, he says, on the Skype blog, the cause of the problem, and we believe it was not or it was not, they believe it was not caused by a malicious attack. But they are still doing a full analysis and will provide an in-depth postmortem. So, rumors, scuttlebutts, ideas that maybe there was some kind of denial of service against Skype for some reason, some kind of hacker attack. He says, no, we don't think so. So I guess they're sticking with the supernode story.
Yeah, but he did corroborate the Windows theory that we talked about yesterday. He said it was primarily Windows machines that were affected. So that makes you think, interesting, it's a platform-specific issue. We don't know of any updates that happened yesterday that would have necessarily triggered this buggy behavior. So it is still a little bit suspicious. I hold on to my conspiracy theory. The one thing I noticed is in the video that Tony Bates did, he said, apologize profusely about 10 times. And this is a big deal for Skype because they are making a massive play to businesses right now. And this kind of downtime, not good for making that sales pitch.
No, it's bad timing, especially because it's around the holidays and people want to make calls.
Well, absolutely. And it really highlights how subpar all of the other services are. I mean, Twit is a great example. Yesterday, Skype was down. It's like, well, we got to do shows. What are our other alternatives? We've got Google. We've got AIM video chat.
We've got FaceTime.
We've got FaceTime. Yeah. None of those are comparable
Gizmo
to Skype at this
project.
Point.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some people were trying out Uvu.
It's a great opportunity for somebody to actually have a Skype alternative that looks just as good. And then we don't need Skype as much.
GTalk worked well for us, but I know some other folks, some folks at the Frog Pants Network, Scott Johnson's place, trying to do three-way audio on GTalk. Did not work for them. So
a lot of complaining podcasters yesterday.
MasterCard indicates that they may be willing to shut down payments to sites they consider to be encouraging copyright infringement. The Combating Online Infringement and Counterfeits Act has not gone forward in the United States Congress. That would be a law that would allow judges to force service providers, including credit card companies, to block payments. MasterCard's Mitch Glazer, a spokesperson, says that MasterCard, or he was the RIA's Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Industry Relations, says MasterCard in particular deserves credit for its proactive approach to addressing rogue websites that dupe consumers. They have reached out to us and others in the entertainment community to forge what we think will be a productive and effective partnership. And a lot of folks are interpreting that to mean that MasterCard will go ahead and shut down services that the RIAA thinks are pirating.
Does anybody else think this is bizarre that they are of their own volition offering to do this? You would think this would happen the other way around, that the RIAA would sue MasterCard for working with a site that supports illegal file sharing and helping in the transactional process thereof. And you'd say, okay, that seems like a civil means by which they could stop some of these sites. It seems weird to me that MasterCard's just offering up, hey, let's help out in this piracy fight.
I agree with you. I mean,
I think frenzies.
I think it sounds like the RIAA is pressuring MasterCard behind the scenes. They got their arm, twisting their arm, and it doesn't add up to me either.
Be a shame if something happened to your nice credit card company, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you take some of those sites down, if you want to live.
Mm-hmm. Or lawsuits, I guess. more iPad. This is, not a lot of tech news breaking right before the holiday break. iPad 2, more leaks coming out of China. Actually, this one coming out of Japan. Japanese Cantadian blog has anonymous Chinese sources revealing that new case shapes shave 3 millimeters from the length and width, resulting in a slightly smaller bezel. It's also said to be flat on the back like the iPod Touch. And other leaks point to better speakers. And there's an article on CNET today saying that an analyst claims the next version of the iPad will sport a dual-core chip.
These are all good things. The speakers, I've never really even thought about the iPad speakers that much because I'm usually listening with my headphones. I guess if you're playing a game and you don't want to wear headphones, that sounds good. Everyone loves thinner.
I actually use the speakers on my iPad a lot.
Do you?
Yeah. One of the things I do almost every weekend is turn on the BBC app and listen to BBC World Service while I'm like making coffee and doing breakfast and stuff like that.
I also think that the speakers are great because the iPad's big enough that you can share content with people. So if you're trying to show someone a video, you want both people or multiple people to be able to hear the audio. And my question for you, Sarah, was, you know, there this point about the iPad being rounded on the back. I never noticed that once. And people are like, oh, my gosh, if it's flat, it's going to be so much better. It's like, really? Is that a problem?
Well, you know,
I don't have a big problem with it being rounded. I mean, I know it is rounded. But
I felt that way about the new iPhone, you know,
how it's so flat?
Yeah, because everyone was like, oh, this is so great. And I was like, I don't know. I have to be convinced at why it's so great. I mean, so this is, you know, there's some rounding on the back of it. I've never once thought, boy, if it was just a little flatter, we'd be in business.
Yeah.
I hate the way it falls off the arm of the couch all the time. Gosh, that's a real problem. Or like, what is the issue?
I don't know what the issue is. I mean, I like this form factor quite a bit. But then again, it's always like the next version just looks newer.
I have mine in my case most of the time anyway.
Same.
So,
I very rarely hold it like this unless I'm at the gym and I don't want to sweat all over my dodo case.
Hey, I want to take a moment and have a last chance in 2010 to thank Ford for sponsoring Tech News Today so much throughout the year, helping make this show possible. If you at all want to support Tech News Today and are looking at all at buying a new car, go and test drive a new Ford so that you can experience Ford Voice Activated Sync the way we do, the way Leo does every day. His car is parked right out there. He's going to hop in it, and he's not going to have to plug anything in like I do. He's going to just have Bluetooth automatically connect to his phone, and then he can do turn-by-turn directions. He can go through playlists. He can skip through things without touching anything. Keep his hands on the wheel. Keep his eyes on the road the way it should be. And this is my last chance to let you know that you could be flown to Madrid, Spain. Even Leo isn't going to Madrid, Spain, although they offered. But
I think he actually is going.
No, he has to go to like Venezuela or something.
Oh, his whole Antarctica to see the emperor penguins.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, friggity who.
But you could be in Madrid if you upload your video saying why the charity of your choice should receive $10,000 from Ford and why you should be flown to Madrid to test drive the new Ford Focus. It's an amazing chance to get a once-in-a-lifetime trip and take a test drive. You have until December 31st, and you'll be at Spain's National Institute for Aerospace Technology. Submit your video now. TwitFordFocus.com is the place to go. Tell them in the video. Keep it less than 2 minutes. Okay, the shorter the better. That's my advice to you. If you want to win this thing, keep it concise, keep it clear, make your point, make it snappy, make it fun. Upload your video now through December 31st, available to Twit audience members worldwide at twitfordfocus.com. And Ford, we thank you so much for your support of Tech News Today throughout the year.
Alan Mulally is a huge fan of Tech News Today. I just want to let you guys know. He listens every day.
Does he really?
No.
I was going to get nervous.
Maybe.
Scott Monty might. He's a Ford dude, but I'm just saying. I wanted to spread that rumor.
All right. This is not a rumor. Congratulations to Samsung. They've sold 9.3 million Galaxy S devices, which there are five versions of the Galaxy S in the world. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's more than five when you consider the variations in Europe. There's five in the United States alone. So they were hoping to get 10 million by the end of the year. They're at 9.3 million. They'll get pretty darn close.
I think they're going to, I mean, think of all the people who give each other gift certificates. You know, so after it, next week, a lot of people are still going to be buying things. It's not like it ends on Saturday.
I have a Galaxy S in my home now. Because Eileen bought a Nexus S.
So you're one of those 10 millions.
Yeah.
You happy?
I am.
Good.
I wish I would be able to pry it away from her for, you know, more than a few seconds at a time.
Right.
But she loves it so much. Also, she doesn't answer my calls anymore because I'm calling her iPhone. She's like, that thing? It's in my bag. I don't pay attention to it.
But I mean,
I wonder if this was one of those phones that, you know, Best Buy did all these free phone Fridays and they did a bunch of free phones throughout the holidays. I'm wondering if the Galaxy S series, I'm sure that one of those was out there. So I know that this is a phone that's getting a ton of promotional support. They're flying off the shelves, man.
Yeah. All right. FCC says it will approve the Comcast NBC Universal deal, according to Peter Kafka over at All Things D. The document with the FCC's proposed restrictions has been circulated to officials at Comcast and General Electric owned NBC. So as soon as they get the restrictions approved, they think that they'll be able to approve this merger sometime after January. A lot of people are not looking forward to this. They think it's a bad thing for the internet.
Well, and that's what you wonder what the constraints are on the deal. If it's like very specific in the articulation of, okay, Comcast, don't be prioritizing that NBC video content and slowing down everybody else. You have to wonder what are the specs here, and I think the devil will be in the details.
OpenBSD project leader Theo Durrott disclosed an email earlier this month in which Gregory Perry claimed that his company was paid by the FBI to plant a backdoor in OpenBSD. We talked about it here on Tech News Today. In a follow-up email this week, Durrott outlined his current perspective. He says he's done a code audit and, found some bugs. That's good. So maybe they can fix those, but did not find any evidence that there is any kind of backdoor yet.
Conspiracy theorists, step off.
Well,
apparently it's just a little bit of bad code.
Just some bugs.
And finally, Slashdot with a sort of, I got really excited when I saw the headline, using Kinect for touch-free interface in surgery. Actually, it's using Kinect to provide a hands-free way to review radiological images.
I'm thrilled that that's actually what it is.
Because, it's still cool, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't know, Kinect in surgery room, not in my surgery
room. Telesurgery?
Please.
You know, just like.
No, I've played a lot of that Kinect, and it ain't specific enough that I want some dude who's like 1,000 miles away using Kinect to repair my ACL, okay?
Spleen. Sorry.
My bad. No, I mean, but the idea of it being used in this radiological way is cool, because I have a friend who's a radiologist, and she sits in this dark room all day, and she like has the mouse, and she starts sleeping. So you could see, okay, jump up off your chair,
put
the mouse down, and, you know, move around and take a better look, and, you know, pinch and pull and rotate.
They find anything in my x-rays? I don't know. Radiologist fell asleep.
That happens, Tom.
You know, all joking aside, this is a step in, I think, the ultimate direction. I mean, imagine.
No, it's great.
You know,
yeah.
You need emergency surgery, and there's the best doctor in the world that just happens to not be in your country. And wouldn't you want him to, or her, to be giving you the open heart surgery that you so desperately need?
Absolutely.
I certainly would.
Yeah.
If it works.
Also, is this a lifeline for Microsoft? You know, this idea of the Minority Report world where we're controlling everything through gesture. Is this, you know, and especially since they've opened it up, is this going to be a huge new part of their business that, you know, really takes off? I don't know.
I think so. In fact, I remember when the Israeli company that invented, I can't remember, was it called 3DI or something? But they invented this technology. They showed it off at CES a few years back. And then they sold the product to Microsoft, who turned it into the Kinect. They were touting the benefits of it in medical situations. I mean, they were also pushing it as, well, a gaming device is probably its best bet to catch on. But it has all these other applications as well. So, yeah, absolutely, Microsoft should push that and push it into any other area. And I think maybe accidentally, maybe on purpose, allowing people to hack it in different ways will indicate those areas that they can work with people to you know, make it so the Kinect is more precise and could do maybe some minor surgeries. Who knows?
And that's the rumor, that they're quadrupling the resolution on the RGB cameras and the depth sensor so that it can even register finger movement. And sky's the limit once you get that really drilled down into the finger movements for the surgeon, no?
No, no, no. I mean, yes.
Yes, you always say yes to me, Tom.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Is it safe?
Is it secret? Is it safe? I want to thank Slingbox also for, they were our first sponsor on Tech News.
Yes, Sling.
Very first sponsor.
This year. They made it so that we felt like maybe our show would make it.
I think Slingbox, they were onto something.
They were onto something.
Look at us now.
Before we sold out.
They're smart. They are smart.
In the early days.
Before TNT jumped the shark pretty hard around episode 50.
Anyway, we really do appreciate their support. And of course, this episode of Tech News Today is brought to you in part by Slingbox. Just in time for the holidays, Slingbox introduces their new iPad app.
Woohoo!
No more double pixeling your iPhone version on your iPad. Now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Slingbox is a great holiday gift. You can find Slingbox or see a demo at Best Buy. if you're traveling for the holidays, you want to have a sling box at home so you can watch that stuff on your DVR. Imagine everybody's hogging the TV. You're at the, you know, it's the holidays, and you want to watch that one show that nobody else really gets, but it's important to you. Well, you plug in the earphones and the iPad on your sling box, and you're watching it off your home DVR while everybody else is enjoying Three and a Half Men or whatever it is that you didn't want to watch. So check out a Slingbox today at a Best Buy near you or at Slingbox.com. Slingbox in your home TV, now appearing on iPads everywhere.
Talk about saving Christmas.
Get
the Slingbox app, go into the guest bedroom, shut the door, and enjoy yourself.
Seriously. I'm not kidding. That could save Christmas
wow.
for many people.
Wow. Some misanthropic Christmases happening here.
You don't know the half
it's just,
of it,
why
really.
Do we have to do it every year? Every year is Christmas.
More beer, my friend.
All right. Time for a very special News Fuse, our News Fuse Year in Reviews. All right. And we're actually going to set up this News Fuse with a call. This is the call that started it all once we heard it after we'd already planned this.
Merry Christmas, Howlett. Sam here from Wales. And just want to say thanks a lot, guys, for a great half a year of podcasting. But what, in your opinion, is the best tech news story of this year?
All right.
Yeah.
He's from Wales, so if you didn't understand,
he sounded like a little Simmer.
He
guy.
Said, "I wanted to know what the best tech stories of the year are." So,
best tech story.
We've got a few. A few Barbara Walters-like categories here for News
Yeah.
Fuse.
Okay, Tom, you go first. What do you think?
Biggest single story of the year. I'd say it. WikiLeaks. It's got to be. Got to be WikiLeaks. There's a lot of stuff that happened. We had the stolen iPhone. Probably would have won if you'd asked me in June. We had Google Buzz launching and failing earlier in the year. People forget that actually happened this year.
I mean, the stolen iPhone, that's a really good point. I mean, that was a really big story. It just seems far away now.
Yeah.
That's my story of the year for sure, because I feel like WikiLeaks, while it is certainly the biggest news story with the farthest reach, it reaches so far that it actually goes outside of tech in a way.
Yeah.
It's sort of like tech facilitated, but tech wasn't the story. And that's where I feel like the iPhone, stolen iPhone, was the craziest tech story I think I've seen in my 10 years of tech reporting. It was like a movie.
It should be a movie.
And it
broke
will
down
be.
His doors.
It should be
took
a
his computers.
Made for YouTube movie.
The fact that that is considered one of the biggest tech news stories of the year really goes to speak volumes for how secretive Apple is, and most of the time successfully secretive.
Yeah, right.
I am the least paranoid person you've ever seen, but after I actually went down to Jason Chen's house, held the stolen iPhone in my hands, and then went home, I defriended everyone I knew who worked at Apple because I was scared. Like, I just got this, like, creepy feeling.
And they were all like, WTF, Whirly? God.
Yeah, what did I say?
What did I do?
Hello?
Hates me.
You know, I defriended Whirly once this year.
Yeah,
did you try and refriend me? I thought that was some
I
imposter.
Did. No, okay. I did. That's actually... yeah, because I wanted to test, like, the Facebook, the new right. Facebook whatever.
So you defriended, so Becky, defriended Becky, and then you said,
I thought
made a terrible mistake.
I thought she was the one that would least likely take it and take a front.
It's so funny because it's been 3 months and I'm still confused. So, all right.
You know,
I'll accept that.
No, that's
that.
Me.
I did the same thing with Leo after he left Facebook in a blaze of glory, and then he was like, I want my Facebook account back. And so someone named Leo tried to friend me, and I wrote back saying, you're not Leo Laporte. He's not on Facebook.
Oh, there's Leo Laporte right there.
And then he said to me in real life, no, that's really me.
All right.
Dude.
I know.
Biggest single story for you, Sarah, did you say? I can't.
I mean, I would say WikiLeaks, but at the same time, you know, the story's not over.
It
possibly will be the biggest story of 2011 as well.
It's hard to know if it doesn't seem like the biggest story because it is now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It might get
Whereas
bigger.
Whereas the iPhone, you know, when that was then, felt really big.
The reason I pick it as the biggest story is it had wide-ranging implications for free speech, for the way we use the internet, for denial of service attacks.
Sure.
You know, it just so many more implications into how we're going to live our lives. The lost iPhone was kind of, it came and it went.
Yeah.
Some people cared about the lost iPhone.
Yeah.
many, but in many the grand people scheme, care about.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it really wasn't that earth-shattering or important. No. You know what I mean?
The phone came out, and now we all
exactly.
have them.
Right. So the biggest trend of the
Android.
Year. Android, you say?
Android or mobile, just in general?
Maybe. Fair enough.
I feel like this year there's been more in, especially just tech news in general. You hear so much about mobile in general compared to all the other kind of facets of technology right now. Mobile is so hot.
Go ahead, Tom. No, you, Tom.
No, I want to hear what you say first.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we're thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. I would say more specifically on the mobile front, mm-hmm. apps.
Nope.
go ahead. Wrong.
Apps. Everybody made an app. Whether they should have made an app
right, was not they always, have or not.
You know, but they did.
That didn't stop them.
Yeah. I mean, for iPad today, obviously, I look at a lot of these apps and you think, I don't know. It just seems like a website. Don't really need an app, but it was an app happy year.
I'm going to say Facebook as a big trend. And the reason I say that, I went through and I wrote down the top stories for every month mm-hmm. of the year in preparation for this. And Facebook did not show up until May with Facebook connections. Do you all even remember the controversy around Facebook connections?
Yeah, yeah. This is when you would log into a website and it would show all the people that you were friends with who had been on that website.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then in June, Mark Zuckerberg had his famous sweat fest at D8 where he took off his hoodie.
That was the craziest thing. And that was so insane.
From then on, Facebook is in the news every month. And then the movie came out. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden mm-hmm. he's named Man of the Year. But Facebook was not even really in the news until halfway through the year.
Right.
So I think they arrived as a huge, huge trend of their own. Like I don't know if it's right to call them a trend, but it's more than just a story.
Everyone wanted to be connected to Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, that
stopped being about social networking. When you talked about social networking, you were essentially talking about Facebook this year.
Well, and then the conversation became Facebook versus Google. And everybody knows how gigantic Google is. For Facebook to even be in that conversation speaks volumes.
Well, maybe we can ameliorate this by saying the next category is the biggest person in technology, the biggest personality.
Not the fattest, but the most interesting.
No, true. The most interesting person in technology. And I think this really goes to what you're saying, Tom, is that Mark Zuckerberg just captured he epitomized Facebook in a lot of ways, in that it was compelling, but strangely so. And we couldn't quite figure out our fascination with it.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Him.
I definitely think if you're talking about trend, like the most interesting person trending wise was Zuckerberg. Everybody was talking about it, especially because of the movie. But I would, you know, who my most interesting person in tech to me is right now?
Alki David.
Well, actually, yeah.
Jason Howell.
Just now. Well, just because of his crazy video earlier this week.
Other than Jason Howell.
Alki David from Philmon's pretty damn interesting. But for the whole year, Reed Hastings of Netflix.
Oh.
I think that guy, he flies under the radar a little bit, but it's very interesting how he has taken what was a very exciting idea in the mid-2000s of mailing you DVDs and not having late fees, and he hasn't sat on that. He hasn't let it turn into this old company that's, you know, fighting against the winds of change. He's leaped right on to streaming video, and he has marshaled it into something that works for them while it's working against everyone else. Hulu has the backing of three major networks and can't do what Netflix is doing.
Good call.
I think he is the most interesting man in tech.
I mean, besides when Netflix, they upped the, if you wanted to still get DVDs in the mail, it's like another dollar a month type of a thing. I mean, people went, hey, another dollar a month, but we're all going streaming anyway. Good on you, Netflix. It was like we all just sort of went, okay, this is the way that it's going. So mm-hmm. Netflix knows what they're doing. Yeah, you know, it's a flying under the radar interesting person.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. And as well, just selling you on something that if it was sold a different way, like you think about instant streaming and kind of what they've done with their instant streaming catalog and stuff, it's not the best catalog in the world, but somehow they've given you an experience that is so good mm-hmm. that you're willing to kind of put that aside and be like, you know what, this is really cool. Even though all the movies I want to watch aren't there, they're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Sarah, you?
Well, I mean, I hate to jump on the Zuckerberg train because I know that time already beat me to it, but I think that I would call him the most interesting person in tech because it confuses me why he's so interesting. I don't know why they
made... Why are you fascinated by him?
I don't know why the social network was made, really. I mean, I don't know. I think it was an okay movie. It wasn't even true. I mean, it was partially true.
Yeah.
It was partially true. And, you know, the whole fascination with the sweatshirt and the time that he said that, you know, iPads weren't mobile. And it's like people are just fascinated by really not interesting things. And I'm interested by that.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm not sure why it's all so compelling. He's a smart man running a company.
I think you make a good point about the new titans. So Zuckerberg being one, and, you know, Barack Obama in his speech at the White House yesterday said, you know, we should all celebrate, you know, captains of industry like Steve Jobs. And there's a new kind of hero, you know, and I think Zuckerberg and Jobs are good. They're emblems of that. And I think Reed Hastings, again, going back to yours, Tom, like these are guys who are bucking the trend. And I would say Jeff Bezos in there, too, with the Kindle and just having some genius business decisions around moving from analog to digital and the people who have navigated that well. And I wanted to go back and say one thing about your Netflix thing, Tom. So Netflix started the year at $53 a share. It's $184 a share right now.
No kidding.
I hate that I have editorial integrity.
I would like to profit off these things.
I'd get in on that.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Do you have a man? Do you have a person of the year?
My obvious choice would be Zuckerberg. He's the number one. But I also have really enjoyed kind of some of the funny things that Eric Schmidt has said throughout the year.
Oh yeah,
he's opened his mouth and said a few things. Like he's obviously a very smart, calculated guy. But man, some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Loose cannon.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who media training
for Mr. Schmidt. Stat. Most annoying person in tech. Anyone for Eric Schmidt on that one?
Well, you know, it's funny. Eric Schmidt had come to mind for the most annoying person in tech, but it's like, it's not really annoying. It's just entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
I'm not offended by any of the things
he says, I absolutely understand what he meant.
Yes.
He just says them in such a way that the headline makes for a controversial
story. It's typical
story.
People going, can you believe he said that? And it's like, well, we all say stupid things.
Yeah. And what he's saying isn't even necessarily stupid.
No.
He just says it in a way that it can be taken out of context hilariously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we look for the creepy line and then we go right up to it.
Worst thing man
Google,
ever did.
Google
was not
CEO says, go to
cars.
Creepy line. You know,
cars need to be driving themselves, damn it.
Hey, I'm just kidding. Witty. I'm the Conan O'Brien of tech
you didn't
CEOs.
Get it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, favorite product. Favorite product. That's the next one I want to hear. Jason.
Oh.
Favorite product.
Oh, boy. You're going to throw that on
me
first.
Actually, we skipped over most annoying person then because we decided Eric wasn't it. Is he yours most annoying?
He's the Conan O'Brien of tech.
Because Alki David, pretty annoying.
True. Good point.
All right, favorite product, Jason.
Skip me, because I wasn't ready for that. I'm sorry.
I know what mine is.
Yeah?
It's the iPad. I know.
I knew that was coming.
It's the obvious answer, but I mean, I'd be lying if I said anything was as interesting to me this year as my iPad. Absolutely. 100% favorite product.
I wanted to say... the iPad was cool, but really the greatest product of 2010 was this. The Pac-Man.
Oh.
What is it?
Is that 2010, though?
Or is it just
you got it in 2010?
It's a pot holder that looks like Pac-Man. But I just needed a visual gag. Hello, just call me Gallagher of Twit. But anyways.
There you go.
Thank you for the rim shot. No, I agree with you, Sarah. The iPad is a no-brainer. Changed the way I travel and the way that I relax at home.
I wish I could say that personally because I don't have an iPad, but... I mean, the influence, you can't deny it.
Even Apple haters have to say, hey, the iPad has really paved the way for all the great tablets that we're all going to see and enjoy.
In the same way that the iPhone really kind of paved the way for touchscreen phones.
Right. It's a trend. It's a product. It's a way of life.
My favorite new release of 2010 was Lucy Howell.
But that's outside of tech, but I would agree with that. You're right.
Oh, it's very technical, Jason. Are you aware of how these things work?
Yeah, firsthand, actually.
but if
we're opening it up that far, then yes, absolutely. My daughter is the best invention of 2010.
Absolutely.
Yay, Lucy Howell. 1.0.
I would say, you know what? I almost think the Roku might be my favorite product of 2010, even though it's not new. Because of the updates that came to it.
The Roku HD.
The expansion of the channels on it and the addition of Hulu last couple months. That is because we almost watch the Roku as often as we watch DirecTV.
I thought you would have said that Civ 5. That's the one thing that I heard you talk about more than any other single thing or thing you were doing.
Or World of Warcraft Cataclysm.
Or
Gran Turismo 5.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. iPad. Let's move on to the dumbest product.
Becky's Pac-Man oven mitt.
True.
It's dumb, it's great.
I got no doubts about this for me. Google Buzz, dumbest product of 2010. I know it's not a gadget, it's not a device. Damn. Wave came in 2009.
Wave died in 2010.
It died in 2010. The dumbest product to die in 2010 was Google Wave, maybe.
Do you recognize this?
What is that, the Kin?
The Kin's got to be on that list.
Launched and died. Both the Nexus One
and revived. We forgot it.
Yeah. Launched, died, and then revived.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
And then I have one you may have also never heard of. The Easy Bloom Plant Sensor.
Does that post to Twitter?
Say again?
Does it post to Twitter?
No, you put it in your potted plant. You leave it there for a while, and then you pull this thing out, and it's got an USB plug that you plug into your computer, and it tells you if your plant needs water.
Wow. That's the dumbest product of 2010.
That's a lot of steps to go through to find out if your plant needs water. Like,
you stick it in your plant, it tells you if there's the plant there.
Yeah, exactly.
Water it.
Step one.
Plant.
Is there a plant?
And it's like $79, and the people kept hounding me. You need to have this on Good Morning America and tell America to buy this. I was like, are you doing math? What is wrong with you?
How long does it need to be in the plant before
it's like 24 hours. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. A couple before we wrap up the News Fuse reviews. most likely, this is a Becky Worley suggested category, most likely to be a People magazine story. The most gossipy, entertainment-y, TMZ-y tech story of the year. Becky, I know what I think your answer is. Do you?
Mine is the Mark Hurd story.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the whole, like, the consultant that sued for sexual harassment, and then there's some document that he doesn't want to have revealed, and then hiding Leo Apotheker with the whole HP. It was just weird.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that myself. I mean, there is the lost iPhone story again.
Mm-hmm.
There's also...
That's more of like a thriller movie.
There's also Steve Wozniak complaining about the Prius and then going on CNN to explain what he meant about the cruise control getting stuck.
And of course, WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is going to make
Julian
a fantastic.
Assange, absolutely. Jamie Thomas Rasset, their constant appeals. Yeah.
I have one other thing I'd like to add.
Yeah?
Weirdest experience as a technology reporter. Going to the Microsoft Connect Natal Becomes Connect event, and they handed out these creepy things that every single person in the audience had to wear, and then the shoulder pads started lighting up in different colors, and it was so weird.
Now you know what it's like to participate in an Olympics opening ceremony.
That did feel like that. It did feel like that, and it was wackadoo.
Yeah. All right. Final category, geekiest news story that Becky still doesn't get.
IPv4.
IPv6, you mean.
IPvX.
That's the one. Okay.
Yeah, IPv6. We're running out of IPv4 addresses, Becky.
And well, we have till 2011 for you to explain it to me. So let's just go have a beer, okay?
Absolutely. Cheers. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, good 2010, everybody. I'm so happy you guys were around to join me with Tech News Today.
Hold it up, Becky.
Yes.
Cheers to all
cheers.
Of you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks to Jason Howell for coming over to Tech News Today this year.
And thank you. This has been a blast.
Thanks to Eric Lanigan for getting Tech News Today off the ground. We could not have done it without you. And now it's time for the calendar.
Oh.
It is?
Yeah.
No, I guess we got that in there, don't we?
Oh, we have to do more business? I was just drinking.
It's the final thing of the year.
Okay, right. All right. The HTC Incredible HD has been teased for January. And this, Tom, is going to be the first LTE HTC phone on Verizon, we think?
That's what we think. There's an there's a link from HTC to this little teaser site. That shows you, you know, that they were the first 4G phone with the Evo and the first 4G phone on T-Mobile, and they're going to do it again. It's all messed up in that screenshot there in the
there
video.
There we go. There we go.
The first to 4G again. And so what is that? That's got to be the first 4G phone on Verizon on an LTE.
Very nice.
Pretty cool. Google's Honeycomb Android tablet will release the Honeycomb version of Android will release in March, which is sort of surprising. I thought that it would coincide with all these Android tablets coming out at CES.
Digitimes says basically that MSI told them that their Tegra tablet would come out shortly after the release of Honeycomb in March. And so they're like, oh, I guess Honeycomb's coming out in March.
March.
Cool.
All right. Good to know. UBM TechWeb is relaunching. Tom, I know you're excited. Byte.com.
I was a Popular Computing subscriber in 1982 when Popular Computing went under and they converted all of our subscriptions to Byte. And I started getting Byte and realized what the hell I had been missing. Popular Computing was like that big. Byte was like that big. It was huge. It was the tech publication of the 1980s. It struggled in the 1990s. Its final editor-in-chief, as I understand it, was Rafe Needleman.
Whoa.
And then it went under in 1998. He didn't kill it. He was just
Needleman!
The last one there. But they're bringing it back. They're going to relaunch Byte.com.
Nice.
So finally, I know you're excited about that, Tom, so I'm just going to let you revel in your geeky moment. Finally, I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about things that are happening with Tech News Today and the Twit. So next week, as we alluded to at the beginning of the show, we have a bunch of really cool on-tape shows, including predictions, best of, what else, Jace?
Prediction results from our predictions for 2010, and as well the open mic, where we talk to a few loyal TNT fans.
Which we haven't done yet. But
no,
I'm
we
sure
haven't done any of these shows.
No, we're coming in all next week. And
Totally.
We just have a good feeling about how that show will go.
Great.
Exactly.
You know what the sad thing is? You know what I'll be doing all next week? Is going through press releases to figure out what the heck is happening at CES. CES starts in too soon, and our coverage starts with our trends and preview show, which will be on Tuesday. Correct, Tom Amundo?
Yep. We're gonna tape it on Monday morning, and we'll put it in the feed on Tuesday, January 4th. And then our actual coverage from CES begins Wednesday, January 5th. And that'll run through Sunday, January 9th. Well, actually, it begins with Tech News Today. On Wednesday afternoon at 2:30.
Oh.
We are going so wall to wall.
And then PepCon.
Got it.
And then all day Thursday and then Showstoppers.
How are you going to do Tech News Today and then get to Vegas? And then
I'll be in Vegas because I fly
earlier.
On Tuesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, you just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Merit's in charge.
You sounded like Phil Dunphy from Modern Family when you said that.
Kind of did. Also, an ABC show, just for disclosure, Modern Family.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Will be back with a regular Tech News Today show on Monday, January 3rd.
Yes.
That'll be Sarah Lane, Darren Kitchen, and myself.
Right.
I think Darren's going to make it up here.
You always say that, and he always comes.
I know.
Every Monday you go, I don't know if Darren's coming today. He might not.
Well, because it's the first day after the break. Or
the first time
after
he doesn't say that is the day that he doesn't show up.
Right.
It's my little...
Darren is always here. He'll be here.
It's like the Beetlejuice.
That's when he doesn't come.
Yeah. Say Darren Kitchen's name three times, he'll show up in your house.
Oh,
try it.
Speak of the dove.
No. All right. So that's it. Thank you, everyone, for a great year. We've had a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed the show as well. Thank you, Sarah Lane.
Thank you, Tom Merritt, Jason Howell, Becky Worley, and Dr. Kiki. Yes. She's not here today, but
Kiki's already off on holiday break.
Yes.
Her and Kiki 2.0. Probably be the best release of 2011. Be
my yeah. It would be, near the top of the list, I would guess, for her especially.
Thank you, Jason Howell.
Yep. You bet.
Thank you, Becky Worley.
Melikaliki Maka.
Well, that's all.
And Hauli Maka Hiki Ho.
Nice. Maybe that's the biggest trend of 2010. All of us come into Twit.
Yes.
Hey.
There you go.
That's a trend.
That is the biggest trend. Have a happy holidays, however you celebrate it, everyone. Merry Christmas to those who celebrate that. And we will see you in pre-recorded episodes next week, but live again in 2011. Happy New Year.